Grace to you and peace this Reformation Day from the one who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, the throne of heaven's preeminent witness, the faithful one, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to the one who loved us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the power in the ages of the ages, which is to say, in the age that is to come, which in him has come. Beloved brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, our hymns can be difficult to sing, can they not? Yes, difficult. Like this morning's hymn, but not because the hymn is unfamiliar. Not because it is out of step with the times, and not because it is otherwise hard to follow or to perform. Instead, this morning's hymn, composed not that long ago, actually, by a former professor of this institution, by the remarkable Martin Franzmann. The hymn is difficult because it speaks such profound truths, because it reaches so eloquently deep down into the troubling reality of what it means to be rescued from the depths of our despair, from the deep, dark, disquieting things of this broken and malevolent world. Does the hymn move you? Does it perhaps even overwhelm you? It's okay. You're not alone. After all, does not the life that we live in this world all too often seem, here come some strange words, like an aimless moat? Like a puny, seemingly insignificant, wind-driven speck of a thing. Does this life too often seem like a deathward drift from futile birth? Like a hall of death, a house of doom, where death has royal scope and room? Wow, that's a little dark, isn't it? But once in a while, perhaps more often than we sometimes imagine, it's important for us to remember how dark, how deeply disturbing it really is. O fatal, hell-bent rebel will, O prideful spite, we know who we are. We know where it is that we live. For this reason, Jesus speaks in the Gospels of the tribulation that is to come, that will be both of our making and not of our making. He speaks of it a lot. In many and various ways, Paul speaks of it too. A lot. And Luther and the rest of the reformers, they lived it. They endured it. They fought the good fight in opposition to it. And why? For the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the life and salvation that is only ours, by means of the sacred word that must be heard, that must be kept unadulterated if it is to be life-giving, that must be recovered if it has been lost, defended if assaulted, preserved if endangered, handed on lest we forget, that it may ever and always be rightly heard and steadfastly believed, for the sacred word that must be heard is our only lifeline in this world until Jesus comes again. The last of the apostles, the apostle and evangelist, Saint John, speaks also of the great tribulation that is to come, of what is and will be till Jesus comes again. He too speaks of it a lot. To be sure, in his vision on the island of Patmos, how does it go early on? In his experience of the seven seals, in his fearful experience of the four horsemen, what comes next? Answer: first, John hears. First, heaven speaks. And John hears of the 144,000, 12,000 of the tribe of Judah. Notice who comes first. 12,000 of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 of the tribe of Gad, of Asher, of Naphtali, of Manasseh, of Simeon, of Levi, of Issachar, of Zebulun, of Joseph, and Benjamin. Notice who comes last. Do the names and the numbers have meaning? Heaven speaks, and John hears of the end time reality of the Israel that is and ever shall be. He hears. And then with the hearing comes a seeing. For then John sees what he has been hearing about. He sees a great and glorious multitude, so great that none can number it. Saints past, present, and future, he sees ahead of time, as though present, as though existing even now. For even now, that is who we too are. So that is what he sees. He sees the survivors of the great tribulation. Thou camest to our hall of death, O Christ, to breathe our poisoned air, to drink for us the dark despair that strangled our reluctant breath. How beautiful the feet that trod the road that leads us back to God. How beautiful the feet that ran to bring the great good news to man. Then I saw, declares John, an angel flying directly overhead. Right on top of me is what he means, as if defining me. Directly overhead was he, with a gospel of the age that is to come, a gospel to be proclaimed to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And the angel cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water, for there is no other way. O Spirit, who did once restore. Thy church, that it might be again the bringer of good news to men. Breathe on thy cloven church once more, that in these gray and latter days there may be those whose life is praise. Each life a high doxology to Father, Son, and unto thee. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with us all.